Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
Here, I'll give the simulated Andy.
Brad's back.
Not a beer in my hand, though. Not a beer.
What are you drinking there, Brad?
TNP Studios favorite, Knob Creek. Smoked maple. Okay.
So. Yeah. We need to get sponsored by those guys.
It would be nice. I would like to not have to pay like $30 a bottle.
I know.
This it's delicious ridiculous. Whiskey. So
bastards. I'm drinking wine from a Boda box. Going real high end this week.
Just for those that doubt that Jay is still always in touch with his working class roots.
the working man in the Boda box. It's as close as I get to the working man. The working stiff executive. I know. I understand his plight. It's not a super crazy week. Andy will, be back.
It feels great to say that.
It does. It does. It's a normal amount of news. It's a normal amount.
Yeah. If only the news itself was also normal.
Yeah, it gets crazy, but it's not it's not to the point where like I worked on the docket basically 40 minutes ago, mm-hmm. and I didn't feel like, oh dear God, I've clearly missed the time that Bill Barr shanked a guy on television, or, you know, or some other insane things happened. It's a relatively reasonable week with some pretty huge milestones. Andy will be back, I think, next week. For those of you who are missing him for whatever reason, I can't imagine why. His deep dulcet tones will be back next week.
The good news is that if you are going through any withdrawal and you are a premium subscriber,
yeah,
you can listen to the next coming episode of Upstage Conversation.
And that will be out by the time you guys are listening to this. So, or it'll be out like a day or two after, actually, now that I think about it. That's not one you're going to miss. I haven't even heard it yet, and I'm excited to listen to him being tortured. All right, so let's get right into it. Last time we talked, Brad, there was a huge super-duper lawsuit.
I think that's a legal term, by the way, super-duper.
You got to take the R's off. It's super dupa. It's that big of a deal. From the Texas AG, who decided, hey, maybe I should try anything to get the president to pardon me because I'm definitely going to jail at some point. Because I've been indicted on one charge that could land me in jail for 99 years.
Yeah. And yet somehow he's still the Attorney General.
Yeah, he got reelected in Texas. Wow. Way to pay attention, guys. Oh, so this guy decided like, hey, I'm going to bring this lawsuit where Texas is going to sue other states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Wisconsin, I believe, because of the way they changed their election laws, which allowed Joe Biden to win. And so one state suing the other state, they decided like this was going to be the way to basically stop the Electoral College, or at least put a hold on the Electoral College from voting and fully certifying Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as president and vice president elect. Well, that made it to the SCOTUS, and boy, did that not work out well for them.
I wouldn't say it made it to the SCOTUS.
Okay, fair enough.
I would say that the judicial bouncer that sits at the door of SCOTUS that decides which cases to let in denied an entry.
Yeah, it was more of a like, hey, we have a case and we're going to scream it out the window as we drive by the Supreme Court, and hopefully the Doppler effect will allow you to hear part of what their plan was. So the idea here is, you know, obviously, Supreme Court gets to choose whether they take up a case or not. And if they decide that they're not going to take up a case, it falls to the lower court or it's just dismissed, right? Mm-hmm. So The problem here, one, Donald Trump called this the big one. Like, this is the one, if any of them's going to work, even if the Kraken fails, this is the Kraken 2.0.
Well, you know what they say, when you try and fail 58 times out of 59, it's the 60th that's the charm.
Yeah, 60th time's the charm. Everyone says that. We all say that. Duh. Well, the Supreme Court said, we're not even viewing this case. This is bullshit, which partially I don't agree with, because one of the outlines of the duties of the Supreme Court is that they are to settle cases between states. Like, that is a thing, right? Mm-hmm. So Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas sort of dissented and said that the Supreme Court should hear the case, which I actually agree with them. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, you know, some people are, oh, well, see, Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas were right, and Trump got screwed. Except for in their dissent, they were like, yeah, we should hear the case because, like, you should hear the case.
Yeah, but we would have voted no anyway.
We would have voted no anyway. So, like, yeah, we grant you no relief. So it doesn't matter. So it was basically a unanimous decision that this was bullshit. So however you want to read that, like, it's still, whether it's 7-2 or not, it still would have been 9-0. So
the funniest part about this lawsuit in particular is that the suit that they filed was based around the fact that these states, you know, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia, and Pennsylvania were the four.
Yeah.
Changed their early voting laws and changed their mail-in ballot laws to accommodate more mail-in voting and early voting. But of course, they weren't the only four states that did this in the election. There was a lot of other states that did it, like Texas. Mm. But the only reason that the other states didn't get sued is because most of those other states are either staunchly Democratic strongholds, like your Maryland's and whatnot, or the actual reason, because they cast their electoral votes for Donald Trump.
Right. Like, they couldn't be any more transparent. Yeah. they could not be any more transparent. And exactly what should have happened did happen, which is this went nowhere. Couple of things about this amicus brief that are interesting.
I was about to say the other funny thing about this is the door got slammed on it, but not before 126 House Republicans decided to put their pen to paper and support this brief.
I'm joining it so that we can absolutely overturn the will of the people.
Yeah.
Including ones we represent, which is fucking wild.
It's as if they said to the future Democrat and or Republican primary opponent that they have, here's this giant club that you can smash me over the head with in 2 years.
That's right. And they will. And they should. Right. But there's another part, Brad, which is that I know that obviously Texas, you know, joined up and, you know, came together and they're going to take down these other four states. But there were two other states that joined Texas, Brad. I don't know if you heard about this. Let me see if I can find the names of these states. The state of New California and the state of New Nevada, which are not actual states. But these are separatist movements that want to start their own part of Nevada and their own part of California, them obviously being very conservative, wanting to, you know, break these states up.
I thought New California was one of the great mega cities that awaits us in our Judge Dredd-like apocalypse.
Oh, yeah. No, this is Mega City 2, right? Okay. Obviously. We should start instituting mega cities. I feel like that's correct. I'll talk about population of states in just a moment, because I have a bit of a statistic, Brad, that is hilarious. And I kind of love it, and I think people should use it more often going into the future. Just pointing out how badly Donald Trump got beaten, by the way. this amicus brief was completely dismissed. This is not going anywhere. This was arguably the last ditch effort. There will be one more, but this is arguably the last ditch effort, or one of the last ditch efforts to get Donald Trump in as president. I mean, Trump is literally tweeting out today, Republicans, you better get going to get me back in the White House. It's like, get going where? On what? Like, are these guys still going to be yelling about this on January 21st? Talking about trust the plan? We lured Biden into a false sense of superiority. I don't understand. What is the argument?
They're still going to be talking about on January 21st, 2025.
We're almost there, guys. We're almost there. Like, I'm pretty sure you're not, but okay. It's very odd. But they very much live in their own reality, and that has definitely been shown a little bit more this week. So, yeah, that got dismissed. That was it. Boom. That got dismissed on a Friday, and then literally Monday of this week, Electoral College votes, all 50 states, including D.C., all get their information in. Boom. Over. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, president and vice president-elect, respectively. That feels good.
It is so stupid, though, that this event that happens every presidential election, which is usually a formality, actually was forced to be a notable event.
The Washington Post literally had the same type of ticker that they have
on election
for election night.
Right.
Of like, here come the states are coming in. Like, this is pro forma. This is ridiculous.
We know. The other best reaction from this came from the chairman of the Texas GOP, Alan West, former congressman from Florida, who suggested, quote, perhaps law-abiding states should bond together and form a union of states that will abide by the Constitution. I've got to tell you, the fact that actual, like, notable Republican people are, like, floating secession because they lost one election. Like, can you be any more whiny, crying, quiet, you know, whiny, crying piss babies about something that happens all the time to every party, no matter what they are? Again, it's not like you're a party who in the past two decades has won the popular vote twice, somehow losing that subsequent presidential election.
Right. Democrats definitely have an argument for, like, you know what? Fuck this. Like, they do. Republicans don't. They benefit from this shitty system.
And like I said, it's all talk, but I would actually really love to see just the entire, like, middle swath of the country carve itself out and form into a separate union, and then watch in 2 to 3 years the economic crisis that would befall that fucking Confederate fucking collection of states when Texas, trying in vain to economically support all these fucking states that have nothing to contribute to whatever that national economy looks like. It would be so fucking hilarious. I would just fucking die laughing about it.
Look, I think I've said on the show before, but I'll reiterate if I haven't. I think there should be a conversation. I think a national conversation, and say, look, we don't like you. You don't like us. That's fine. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to give everybody 5 years. You got 5 years to move. We'll help you if you need to move. We're not going to, like prices are going to be what they are in certain places. Like, look, San Francisco ain't going to get no cheaper. So you can try to move to the East Coast if you want. You got 5 years. You're in red state. You're a red stater, but you live in New York or you live in California, and that's a part of the new blue America or whatever the fuck. Look, you guys can keep the name. You keep the name. It's fine. I'll happily live in fucking New Maryland or whatever the fuck, right? You had 5 years. We'll help you move. You can move down there, and you can go live in, you know, Jesusstan or whatever the fuck they call it, and go ahead. And you're right. I'm glad you're not saying 10 years. It's about 2 to 3 years before it is an economic collapse.
Like I said, they're like, oh, we're going to carve out our own country. I'm like, yeah, like, we all know all these civilizations throughout history that have thrived without ports. Like, that's a thing you don't need to worry about.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. That's fine. What you going to do? Huh? You going to build the wall? You going to build a wall? And then call Mexicans, like, rapists and thieves and all this other shit? Why would they trade with you? For what reason? They could trade with the two liberally intelligent-minded other sections of the contiguous.
Watching horror is all the big tech companies who moved to Texas are just like, yeah, we're getting the fuck out of here.
Bye.
I don't know what the fuck country you expect us to be a part of.
Right. Certainly I mean, not this one. Like, oh, we got Elon Musk going to Texas. Yeah, because it's still a part of the U.S. Let it not be.
Also, because they have, like, no state taxes.
Right. Yeah. What happens when you're trying to, like you said, what happens when you're trying to sustain all those other states that are taker states?
Yeah.
Hmm? What happens then?
Which is basically all the other ones.
Yeah.
That aren't Texas, yeah. Essentially.
South Dakota?
That you put in this new pseudo-union that you're trying to fucking put together.
Or don't even make up states. Just make it all one big happy family. That's fine. It's fine. I don't give a shit. Do whatever you want to do.
I don't know, Jay. Like I said, they do like federalism, so they're going to have to keep the states as part of it.
Do they, Brad? Because they've made a lot of arguments against federalism over the last couple of months. I'm just saying. They seem to like it when it's convenient.
It's also true. Also true.
I would love Texas to secede for one major reason. Because it would solidify Democrats being in power in the U.S. Be like, leave. Go ahead. Fuck it. Oh, we'll leave. All right, so you guys will suffer on your own, and then the country can move forward and not get textbooks from you psychos. Great.
You mean that all the guys that are preventing us from fucking, like, making better health care and better social programs to get to people and taxing billionaires, like, you mean those people are just going to go away?
Can you imagine?
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Right, exactly.
Come on.
Dude, so. The level of progress – those countries, let's say it splits into three countries, right? Just because of like geography. The level of progress in like New California or New West Coast Stan or whatever versus, you know, whatever the United States is in the middle and then whatever the East Coast is. All right, dude. Sure. If you think that'll all work out for you, that's fine. That's fine. Look, if you want to take the federal government with you and you guys want to be the new America, that's also fine. We will build a new logical, reasonable system that actually works for people. It's fine. I'm not offended. I don't think there needs to be bloodshed at all. You want to leave? Get the fuck out. Just get out. Just give people enough time that don't want to live there for them to move and vice versa. That's it. You don't have to fire a shot.
Go live in your conservative utopia. We only have a 10% corporate tax rate. Cool.
Okay.
That's fun.
We'll see how it works out for you.
In like I said, enjoy mega Austin and mega Dallas as your only fucking central hubs of utopia, and everything else is a desolate wasteland.
You think those people are going to stay there? I don't think so. Austin will be a ghost town. Those people are moving. Bye. They only live there because it's a part of the U.S. Hey, I like Texas and all that other stuff. Austin is basically just California a little to the east. That's all it is.
Like you said.
That's all it is.
We are dreaming about stuff that's based off of nothing but empty talk, though, at the end of the day. Just fucking whiny crybaby bullshit. That's all it is.
But I do.
Austin election. Nah. Like, here's the best part. Like, they can't even fucking look at, like, if you look at the grand scope of things, this election, while they lost the presidency, was not like a catastrophe for the GOP. They gained seats in the House. Nope. They stand what I'd have to imagine is still a reasonably good chance at maintaining the Senate. And even if they don't, the Democrats will only hold it by literally the tie-breaking vote. And that's it.
Right. No, but their boy didn't win.
You still control 80% of the fucking or have a significant voice in 80% of the state legislatures across this entire fucking country. You're going to draw ridiculously gerrymandered maps in a census here that can make sure that keeps the scale tilted in your favor for the next decade. Like, what the fuck are you complaining about? Because we beat the psychopath that should have never been in the White House in the first place?
Yes.
The dude that's going to drag your fucking party down from the inside?
Yes. What the fuck? This seems unfair. What about us? That's it. That's
we
it.
We rigged the system so hard we shouldn't lose. This isn't right.
Yeah. That's basically Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue's letter to the AG, to the Secretary of State in Georgia. It was like, I thought we were rigging this.
Do you know how many shenanigans we pulled?
Yeah.
How did we still lose?
Right. And we still lost? Get the fuck out of here. Right. So I don't know.
Impossible.
Me fail English? Impossible. I am amazed at the idea of them calling for this after losing one election. You're absolutely right. Like, it's so silly to me. But, hey, it is what it is.
Like,
it is
if you put it to a national vote, like, how many Democrats would just be like, fine, just go.
I bet it's a lot higher than people think. I bet it's a lot higher than people think.
Like, we've had enough of this. Like the Republicans in the coastal cities wouldn't want to do it because they're just like, you ain't leaving us alone. Like, what the fuck? Like, don't leave us stranded on this island.
No, fuck that. Come on, man. But look, I'm telling you, I honestly think a lot of people given an opportunity, I think they'd move. I think they would.
And again, that just goes to show you the genuine lack of knowledge that a lot of folks have in terms of what parties are doing what for them.
I got to tell you, man, I'd love it. I'd love it. I think this country is held back by general republicanism to an extent that is untenable. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you got some of these guys out of the way, like, you don't need to have a middle-of-the-road guy like a Joe Biden. You could have an AOC or something like that if we were allowed to actually progress as a nation, right? Like, one, we'd have a female president probably the first time out. We would, right? It'd probably be like – or the second time. It'd be like Bernie the first time or some fucking psycho shit. And they'd be like, just put the most left-wing person we can. We finally got the fuck out of there, right? So we'd put, like, Bernie or, like, you know, I don't know, like – a book about Bernie, like what something like Noam Chomsky would be the first president, right? But we would have a female president much quicker, right? We would have a Muslim president or an atheist president or all of that stuff would happen so much faster.
It's not even presidents. Like, you would just see representation.
It would change dramatically.
In government that you just don't see right now. Yeah. Like, you would see, you know, much more representation from the LGBTQ community. Yes. In high positions of government, you would see, like you said, I mean, people like to talk about, oh, like, you know, it's, you know, all you're ever going to see is Christian presidents. You'll see a Jewish president before you, and fuck, you'll see a Muslim president before you see an atheist president.
Oh, 100%.
Talk about the group of people that's woefully underrepresented in government.
Isn't there like one guy, and he's like, yeah. I mean, I'm an atheist, but, you know, like, I like Jesus. Like, just relax, everybody.
I like the concept of Jesus, but I'm a humanist.
Yeah, like, uh-huh. Now, I want someone that's like, no, I don't fuck with none of that. That's what I want. That's what I want as an answer. What's your feelings on religion? I don't fuck with none of that.
Yeah, you want me to say the Pledge of Allegiance? You want me to say under God?
I can't do it.
Underdog, my friend.
Underdog. Dog the Bounty Hunter. That's who I respect. That's who I salute every night.
Yeah. Yeah. You're never going to see an atheist president, ever.
Everybody. Not in our lifetime. I can't imagine. Like, the level of – because for every bit of progress in this country, Republicans have to fuck up tremendously for Democrats to run someone of, like, that's changing the paradigm, right? Like, we had George W. Bush fuck up so bad. They were like, black president? Sure. I don't know. Let's give that a chance, right?
And even he was centrist as fuck.
Right, exactly.
When he first got in there, so.
Right, he was like, ooh, don't want to go too far, right? But then it's like Trump, and it's like, yeah, we'll let a woman get close. Just slow down. Close.
Hey, she's only one heartbeat away, Jay, as they say.
She, as Andy said, she was one election and one tragedy away from being president. At this point, one tragedy away. We're 50% of the way there. So, yeah, I think that you're right. Like, representation would change dramatically. A thing that we'll talk about, like, just technology would change, right? Mm-hmm. Like, spending money on the homeland would change dramatically, right?
A solar panel for every house. Seriously, like, it would happen. It would.
I can't look. I kind of love that. Like, instead of like a chicken in every pot, right. like
solar panel for every roof. Yeah,
solar panel for every roof. Like, just fucking do it. Like, high speed rail. Like, those kind of things. Like, you could do them. Right. Of course, it would only go.
That's why we could be one country, Jay, because we could build the high speed rail across the middle, like the desolate wasteland that would result.
I feel like we just build a huge, like, it just be really high. So the crazy hillbillies in America can't, like, shoot at it or whatever, because they they're trying to take my, you know, they're trying to steal my spirit or whatever fucking nonsense they would believe. Yeah. And then we just, you know, we just get a maglev train over there. But yeah, I think the world would be in a much better place if we didn't have those psychos in charge. And again, that country would fall, their country would fall into a second rung, like countries of power rather quickly. It just would. It would be like, it would be a Trump business, right?
They would be the East Germany of former America.
Right. That's exactly right. And it would just be like, it would just be a mess. Like, we're not dealing with fuck those people, right? And they would deal with a bunch of psychos, and we would definitely have to build walls because they would have like terrorist issues and shit like that. They would. They fucking would. Domestic terrorism in those parts of the country? Are you kidding me? Yeah, it would be nuts. But it's not my problem. I don't live there anymore. Sounds awesome. So yes, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are officially president and vice president elect after winning 306 electoral college votes to Donald Trump.
I have to say, I'm a little surprised that there wasn't a single faithless elector in this process.
I am not. And the reason why I'm not is because of the other sub stories in this, which is the Republican shenanigans that they tried, which is a better way of doing this than just like some guy like, oh, I'll vote for Joe Biden. Like, ah, fuck that. Like, I mean, the problem is the people they're sending are people from the Democratic Party. Like, they're not going to be like, ah, fuck it. Like, I can't imagine that. That's crazy. So Republicans in Michigan, they literally tried to get past a police officer to be let into the building that the electors in Michigan were voting in, the Democratic Party electors. And they came to the door. There's video of it. And they're just like, we're electors. We're here to sign in. And the guy's like, all the electors have been seated already and accounted for. And they're like, no, not all of them. We're the Republican electors. There are no Republican electors. Because Joe Biden won Michigan, henceforth the party that wins that state, they're the only ones who send electors. It's not both parties. But they don't give a fuck about the rule of law, so they just tried to bogart their way in, and the cop was like, nah, son. Nope. That's not how this works. Shout out to him. It's like,
it's really tragic news when one of the Michigan electors reportedly had to literally wear like a bulletproof vest.
I heard
she was going in to do her duty.
Yeah.
Like,
also, I'm not mad at that. That's smart.
it's super smart, but it's indicative on it's
tragic
of how much this country has degraded in 4 years. And that, I mean, again, what was possible for that to happen was always there, but just the catalyst that Trump was, and we've said it before and we'll say it again, he's not the reason that the Republican Party lost their fucking mind, but he was the spark that lit the flame, essentially.
100%. Like, yeah, he's not an anomaly. He's not. He just happened to take the craziness that they already had and focus it a little bit better. And to their own detriment. But
he's the natural outcome of what had been building for the past, you know, several years to that point.
Yeah. They've built Frankenstein's monster, and now he is down in the town murdering people. Like, he just is. I mean, you think about 30 years of fake news and just lies that you feed these people. Like, I've been over the last week, I have spent an inordinate amount of time reading and looking at what sort of the Q people are saying, and
God bless you for that, by the way.
Oh, no, I go to a subreddit that curates it. I'm not in it. Like, I know, can't.
But even just exposing yourself to that is just wild to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not good for my mental health overall, but I do it for you guys. But I also read a lot of stuff that gets posted from Parler, and the mental gymnastics these people are going through is like, it went from like, this is fucking wild, to, oh, this is kind of sad. Like, And it is kind of sad. I don't feel sorry for these people because fuck them. But there's a lot of mental illness there. There's like a lot of mental illness. And
or just a lot of lack of intelligence, lack of critical thought, lack of, you know, of logic going on.
I mean, yes, it's both, but there's a lot of mental illness. Like, I cannot stress that enough. Like, there's a lot of serious mental illness. But it's – but what I'm seeing is a lot of people who are just so incredibly ignorant to how the world works or so scared that the world is after them that they will literally believe anything. And it's sad. Like, there's a big thing in the Q movement apparently right now that they think that, I guess, like, this is start – like, today I think it is or Monday was the start of the 10 days of darkness, right? Like, these are like D&D nerds, okay? Like, they're like, there's a dragon and like, just relax. But they think it's like these 10 days of darkness – where all these people are going to be arrested and military tribunals and like people are going to be killed by the, you know, by the, you know, executed for crimes against America. And then they're going to release all the cures for all of these diseases that for they're keeping in a warehouse, I guess, next to the Ark of the Covenant for fucking Indiana Jones. I don't know where it is, but they're going to release all these things to help these people, these like true believers, and they're going to wipe away all their debt. So what's been happening is these people have been purposely ratcheting up debt. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, well, we might as well take advantage of it. Let's like buy a boat or like get these cars and all, because it's all going to get wiped away. It's fine. And I feel kind of sad for them. Like, no, but after your 10 days of darkness, man, shit's going to get real. And it's called a creditor. Like, and and again, I feel kind of sad because I know that these are people being taken advantage of by shittier people, right? To like for jokes or just for their own political well-being. But at the same time, you brought this on yourself. Like, you did. Right. And it's fucked up. Like, it is kind of fucked up.
I would agree. In many ways, like, I don't mean to disparage as much as I'm going to when I say this. It's kind of just new religion.
Yeah,
it's new religion in a lot of ways.
I mean, what's the difference between a cult and a religion, Brad? Numbers.
Look, I mean, what's the difference between, oh, magically all of our debts going to be erased and, oh, if all the Jews get to Jerusalem, all of a sudden we're all going to get called to heaven. Like, there's not a lot of difference there. I'm just saying.
Well, this episode is not on video, but let me describe my face, which is you're not wrong. Like, you're just not wrong. Like, it isn't. And it's not. It's not crazy, to quote Bill Burr, not Bill Barr, but to quote the comedian Bill Burr, like, who am I to judge Scientologists for believing what they believe when I believed a bearded baby moonwalked over a lake? Right? Like it's just – it's ridiculous. Also, Bill Burr is one of the funniest dudes ever. So like you said, he just had to let it go. And it's the same idea, but I do get a little – I do get concerned, like, watching these people believe this shit. Right. But
again,
that goes back
by to this. By the same token, they want to.
They
like,
want
to. That's the difference. Is that it's not like they are, you know, being grifted in an especially, you know, highbrow way or in a very intelligent way. They want to believe it because it's a security blanket for them. It helps explain what they otherwise can't understand. Like what I've come to realize about Trump supporters and why they're surprised about the outcome of the election is because they themselves in many instances can't fathom that anyone hates him.
They cannot understand.
Like they just don't get it.
Right. Like this whole idea of, well, Donald Trump got 74 million votes. How is it possible Joe Biden won? It's possible because a lot of people really like Trump. That's true. For better or for worse. I don't understand, but that's fine. But the bigger thing here is way more people hate that motherfucker's guts. They hate his guts. And they were just like, I don't even vote normally, but I'm voting just to get this guy out because they hate him. They cannot, again, like you said, they cannot understand it.
But it goes back to the fact that he lays the groundwork for, you know, this shouldn't be a surprise if you understand that he lost the presidential election that he won by, you know, almost 3 million votes.
Right.
But because they don't believe that that's legitimate, because they believe that, you know, the 3 to 5 million votes were fraudulent, they don't understand that people don't want this dude as a majority of people. That the only reason that he won in the first place is because of some arcane system that we as a country just can't fucking move beyond.
Right.
Because of, you know, pick your reason, pick your falsity, your falsehood as to why we need to keep it in place.
Racism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's why it started and it's why it often persists to this day. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, like, look, I'm from the Kenya Barris school of thought. If you don't know the answer, it's probably racism and you're probably right.
Well, and again, I mean, you're not wrong because
that is a fact.
The states that benefit the most from the Electoral College still existing are predominantly white by
yes,
a super
100%.
High degree. So.
Well, and that's how they got them to sign on.
Of course.
The Electoral College was a compromise and it had everything to do with slavery. 100%. It did.
Look, and again, the amount of people, even people that are not stupid, like even people that just don't understand the history, like you can't talk about the Electoral College without also talking about the Three-Fifths Compromise. The two are linked together. They're one and the same. We got rid of one.
And then they were like, how about this other option? Like, right. That's the same thing. Yeah, but it's got a cool new name, right? it's a new twist on an old thing. So, yeah. So here's the thing. The reason why I bring up like all the Q stuff is because it's all living in an alternative reality, right? Like all of it is. But that's what you saw in Michigan with these people like, well, why can't we go in and vote in the Electoral College? We're electors. Like that's not actually what reality is. And what's interesting is you're seeing their fantasy world smashing up against reality in real time, and it's wild to watch because they're like, wait, huh? Why does this not work? We've been talking about it online. Like, yeah, that's online, dude. That's not reality. Right. But that's how they are. Arizona Republicans literally forged documents trying to be like, here's all the electors for our state. And then, but we turned it in early, so right. Those are the people.
Not only did they forge the documents, but their rationale is, well, we were here first.
So, yeah. So fuck the other people who
we won. We won the amazing race to give our electoral votes to Donald Trump. It would have been for nothing. By the way, again, Arizona was just icing on the cake for Joe Biden.
Right. It was just another feather in his aviators to say that he carried five states that Donald Trump won in 2016. But so they basically tried to say, hey, like you said, we were here first. Yeah, this is not the amazing race rules, guys. Like that's not how it works.
It's the thing that's the most frustrating with all of these like continued like massive efforts to find loopholes and just flagrantly deny the law is that we're not going to be rid of this. And we didn't think we were. I mean, it's not like just because Trump goes away that Trumpism doesn't still have a stranglehold over the Republican Party. But it's hard to move past when there's a significant block of this country that refuses to live in the same reality that the rest of us live in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know what you do about it. I really don't. I don't know what you do to move past that. They're going to continue to nominate crazy people. I mean, you have fucking Trump sitting there telling people, like, don't vote for Brian Kemp when he comes up for re-election. Don't vote for Doug Ducey when he comes up, you know, when he's done. Like they should be thrown in jail. Like, he's fucking liking tweets that are supporting throwing Republican governors in prison for just doing their job, like not doing anything.
Hey, by all means, keep it up. Keep it up till at least January 6th. Just keep it up. Because he, out of one side of his mouth, talks about how we need to come together and get David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler reelected. And on the other side is Twitter, where he's saying some wild shit and retweeting and liking wild shit because that's how he really feels. I told you, he was going to be a fucking albatross around the necks of those two as they're running for re-election, which we have a lovely story about that later. But I knew it because he's incapable of thinking of anyone but himself.
But here's the funny thing is that Brian Kemp, when he runs for re-election, is going to actually probably have a primary challenger. And that primary challenger is in all likelihood going to pick up a not insignificant share of votes in the primary. Pretty sure Brian Kemp's still going to win as the incumbent.
Right.
But the fact that he's going to have someone primary that's probably going to be endorsed by Donald Trump, that's probably going to get a lot of fucking Trump folks to vote for him, is insane.
No, but see, here's the thing, though, Brett. Here's the thing. You're not wrong. But here's what I love about that. Those people hold grudges. You know who else is going to be running against Brian Kemp?
I know. I get
Stacey
it.
Stacey Abrams.
Look,
good.
I get,
good.
I understand it. But that just really frames the argument for you, because Brian Kemp is someone that did everything he could possibly
right.
do to advantage every Republican that was running in Georgia for any seat. He used to be the Secretary of State. He knows the ins and outs of the election law. He made it harder for people to register. He made it harder for people to vote as best he could. COVID yep. happened. He couldn't stop, you know, common sense early voting measures from taking place, lest coronavirus cases spike in Georgia. And that was his greatest sin at the end of the day. But this is a dude who marches for the Republican Party like crazy. And even that guy is incapable of staying above the fray for all better, you know, for all intents and purposes.
He cannot. Because his only option at the end of the day is to outright cheat. It's just to be like, we're not certifying. Like, that was his only option, is to be like, I'm not signing off on the certification of these.
Right. And these votes. And
that's
it's a good thing that Brian Kemp is not like an insane person, I guess. Like, that's the
yeah.
best, that's the best compliment that I can give him, is that he wasn't willing to go along for the insanity ride, which I gotta say, if you'd presented that situation to me before the election, I wouldn't have banked money on that.
Yeah, no. But it's only because, look, let's get real, right? This is why politics is super interesting.
Right. Yeah,
like, let's get real. We all know what the answer is as to why he did it. Because if he didn't do it, 2022, he's in a world of trouble.
Right.
He's in a world of trouble. Like, you're just not going to certify the votes. You're just going to toss out the votes of all these Georgians. Oh, they're going to come for you. So he will throw Trump under the bus, quote unquote, which is really just doing his job so that he can save his own ass, because power is the number one thing they care
right.
about.
Right. But therein lies the problem with making the devil's bargain, is that you fucking made your bed with this dude. It's gonna come back around yeah. on you at some point. Like you said, the title of last week's episode was Boomerang Schmoomerang. Like, the shit's gonna come back around. It is.
Oh, it'll be fine. I'll just throw this thing in out onto this field and turn around. Just crack you right in the back of the head.
No way it's gonna crack me in the back of the head. No. So
I know how to use one of these. I've seen the commercials.
And again, like, the amount of rakes that these people continue to step on just defies logic. Again, we talk the 126 sitting representatives in the House of Representatives that signed on to the amicus brief. And there's a good chunk of those that will not affect them in the slightest.
No.
There are a ton of them who will suffer no ill will, no consequence for that whatsoever, because they're in safe Republican districts. They're not going to face a challenger. But there's a lot of folks that are going to lose their seats when they come back around, because, again, that you've handed someone something to beat you over the fucking head with.
Yeah.
And for nothing.
You threw yourself.
Nothing.
You threw yourself at his mercy for not a goddamn thing.
Right.
This is dumb. You weren't going to win. You weren't going to win this. You had to know you weren't going to win. You had to know. I don't believe everybody who supports Trump is somehow a complete idiot, like all of these politicians. I think some of them do it because they're like trying to politically maneuver their way through elections and stuff like that. All 126 of you guys thought, yeah, he's probably going to win this. Like, no, come on, man. That was stupid as shit. I would have never signed on to that.
Jay, I don't know if you know, but no less than authority figure than Rudy Giuliani told everyone that this was going to work. So, you know,
that
he's be a U.S. attorney and a mayor.
America's mayor, Brad.
He was America's mayor.
Yeah. That's right. You watch your fucking tone. That is America's mayor. Now,
Jay, he threw a perfect strike. Oh, actually, that was George Bush. Never mind. George Bush threw the strike at the World Series.
Oh, really? Did he? I believe that. I mean, he was like, didn't he co-own the
Rangers? Yeah.
Yeah, the Rangers at one point. Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy had some pretty decent reflexes. Remember that guy threw those shoes at him and he was just like,
That was actually 12 years ago today, funnily enough.
Oh, is that right?
Someone posted about it on Twitter today.
Look, at the twilight of his presidency, that was one of the greatest moments of all time. I was like, oh shit, he's like fucking dodging shoes and shit. That guy was like, fuck you. That's awesome. That was awesome.
The best part about that video is the deer in headlights look when he realizes that a shoe is coming at his head, and then he still manages to fucking
he has some decent reflexes, man. He did. Like, look, you hate George Bush all you want, and I get that, but dude had some pretty decent reflexes.
Think Dick Cheney could have dodged that shoe? Fuck out of here,
dude. Can you imagine if he got fucking pelted just a Timberland boot right to his forehead, like, bah. Dick Cheney would have never lived it down. And by live, I mean had a human heart beating in his chest, which we all know he doesn't. All right, let's move on. But just quickly, actually, before we do that, how good does it feel to know that they are now president and vice president-elect, knowing that the only thing they have to get past is this January 6th bullshit hurdle in the Senate? You think anything happens there?
We'll see, but the problem is that I was safe in my comfort all the way back on November 9th. Like this hasn't changed the calculus for me because I knew that all this bullshit was just that. All bullshit.
All just rigmarole.
It was not going to lead to anything substantial, just like the January 6th congressional certification is not going to lead to anything substantial at all because again, you have to, like, in order to object to the electors of a particular state, you have to have both the Senate and the House vote on it. And not only do you not control the House if you're Republicans, but there's enough Republicans in the Senate that are just like,
nah,
we ain't fucking with this.
Nah, it's going to make us look crazy.
What are you doing?
Yeah, Mitch McConnell came out tonight and was like, look, don't do that. Like, don't do that. Like, please don't do that. Like, that's just going to, like, we got to vote it down. That makes us look like wildly broken and he's not wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as people hate Mitch McConnell, and I do, he's not a politically stupid person. He's a politically super smart person. He's as brutal and as vicious as I would love Democrats to be, but he fights for evil, which is the problem. Like, I just like, could you just use your evil powers for good? But he can't. That's what happens when a turtle becomes a man. I guess he got changed by a witch or something. I don't know. So I suspect Ron Johnson will carry water for Trump. That seems to be the argument. So he will vote it down. Then it will go to the House, and the House will be like, eat a dick, and then we'll immediately get past this. So, well,
but again, though, this is also after the new Congress gets seated, yes? Like, don't they get seated on January 4th, if I'm not mistaken?
I don't know.
The new Georgia candidates?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Not that it matters because, you know, the Democrats will still hold the House and the Republicans will still probably hold the Senate, at least in the short term. Unless the election results come in on the 5th and they fucking, you know, overnight jet Warnock and Ossoff down to D.C. to get sworn in.
I mean, I would.
Yeah.
Georgia's not that far, dude. You can get there in an Uber, a real expensive one, but you could get there. Get the fuck out of here. Get your asses down here. They are scheduled January 3rd.
There you go.
Ooh. So, no, you'd still have the normal Congress.
Right.
You have Mark Kelly is there now because he got sworn in last week. But it doesn't matter. Democrats hold the House. So,
right.
So whatever you hear about Ron Johnson and his bullshit or some other fucking uber sycophant, it won't matter.
You know what's insane to me? like I said, Ron Johnson is a crazy person, so I wouldn't be surprised by him. But you're going to see other people who, and again, these guys get a lot of press, but they're not like stupid people. Right. But they're still going to sign on to this bullshit, like your Ted Cruz's,
yeah,
and your Lindsey Graham's. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Lindsey Graham fucking vote in favor of this bullshit.
Oh, you think so? I don't think so. I think he
you
wants
think
to be
so?
On. No,
you
I think he
you
wants
don't,
to.
You don't think he has already debased himself enough?
No,
what's
no,
what's
no.
Another that, debasement, Jay.
No. And look, and I understand your Rorschach view, which is, you know, what's another body on foundations. I get that.
What I want to happen though, so. Is I want Graham to vote for this shit, and then I want like Schumer to get up in the Senate and play that. You know, play the fucking video where it's like, if you don't like Joe Biden, there's something wrong with you.
That, see, this is why you and I could never be Senate Majority Leader, Brad, because I don't think they allow that level of pettiness that I would, or I would assume that you would also bring.
I wish we could be like special advisors to the Senate, like we're just allowed to come on the Senate floor just to throw shade at people.
Yeah, just an ideas guy. Like, yeah. What? Just keep playing this clip
like,
until
trust
he
me,
walks
it'll
out.
Go viral. It'll be fucking hilarious.
just hold up your phone to the mic and hit play. That's all I want you to do. Don't even look at the screen. It's going to be awesome. So none of this matters. All of this will be political theater. Republicans will say, they objected, so that means Trump's president, because they don't really understand how government works. Right. Then I'll explain to them on Twitter. They'll hate it anyway. They'll go to Parler and then they'll rant and rave until 2025. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Everything is done. This vote on Monday, that was it. The rest of this is a formality. Shit, the shit on Monday was a formality. But now that that's done, that's it. That's it. There is no other options. We're good. Oh, it feels good to say that. All right. So next up, Biden names Pete Buttigieg as nominee for transportation secretary. Thoughts?
Fine with this. Any cabinet position is going to be benefited by someone who is able to deal well with things like logistics, yep. Things of that nature, being organized. Even more so in a department like transportation, where literally it's a logistics industry in many ways. If you're going to appoint someone there, it seems like someone who comes from a military background and someone who used to be an executive, for example, would probably be a good choice.
Yeah.
So I don't see anything wrong with this, despite the fact that Amy Klobuchar's staff was apparently throwing some shade.
That tweet apparently was not actually from her.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. I'm bummed. I'm as bummed as you. Because I kind of wanted that to be true. Also, Biden names former, or looks like he's going to name. He hasn't yet, but he's expected to name Jennifer Granholm, former Michigan governor, as Secretary of Energy. I also don't hate this. Right. I think Granholm is pretty decent.
At the same time, though, is she going to be able to live up to the fine stewardship of the Energy Department as we've had under one Richtofer Perry?
Richtofer Perry. Well, the question is, does she have her smart lady glasses on? They're just frames. They don't have any lenses.
Hopefully he leaves his at the office for her so that she can. I'm pretty sure they come with the position.
Yeah, well, right. You got to look smart. You got to look smart. Right. They let you use nuclear weapons? Wow, this is awesome. This is a great job.
Rick Perry would be the guy that does the Homer Simpson line, like nuclear. The word is pronounced nuclear.
Yeah, I will never forget until I saw an ad this week from that fucking loser, Dan Crenshaw, that Rick Perry has the single greatest, and by greatest, I mean dumbest, election ad of all time. Until Dan Crenshaw's this week.
Oh, what?
And not the Carhartt one.
My question is, my other big concern with Jennifer Granholm is – she's not really qualified, and I don't know if she has the time to get on Dancing with the Stars before she would be taking the seat in order to get all the prerequisites out of the way to become Secretary of Energy.
I agree. I'm not sure she could do the two-step or the Charleston. But I think maybe she might be okay here. I like Jennifer Granholm. I always enjoy her sort of political commentary. I think she's very smart. I'm not really familiar with her, like, in any detailed way as far as when she was governor of Michigan. I'm just not. I don't really follow local Michigan politics. But she certainly has.
Bite your tongue. Don't you dare pretend like you don't know what's going on with Big Gretch all the time.
I mean, everyone knows who Big Gretch is. Come on now. Let's not get crazy. But, you know, her ties to the auto industry as far as like working with them to kind of keep them afloat and things like that are important to understand. But it also should lead everyone to have a slight moment of concern. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying like, oh, she's going to be owned by them, but how close you are to the auto industry is going to really matter in how you handle energy. Right now, maybe that position isn't so hard focused on those kind of things because they leave sort of climate change and things like that to the climate czars and stuff like that. And she kind of just falls in line. I don't know.
Funny thing about industry is that it's logical to assume that industries like the auto industry would be difficult to move into more clean energy solutions because they're so reliant on fossil fuels.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing about corporations is that corporations
are the worst.
They are the worst. But the thing they like more than anything else is making lots of money.
Yeah.
And the thing that they also understand in order to make lots of money is that you have to kind of see into the crystal ball a little bit. The auto industry understands that the future is renewable energy.
Yeah.
And they, in many cases, are some of the biggest strivers towards working towards renewable energy because they understand that fossil fuels will not have a place in that industry. And it's sooner rather than later. And I don't mean like next year, but they understand that within 15, 20 years, you're not going to have combustible engine automobiles at this point, and they still want to make money.
Yeah.
So they're much more willing and much more enthusiastic about supporting more green initiatives because they kind of need to for their industry to survive long term.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. Like, I guess there's always this weird assumption that the auto industry doesn't want to move towards renewables, you know, renewable vehicles and things like that. That's not true. They don't want to spend a lot of money doing it until it is the absolute time. And spoiler alert, it is the absolute time right now. That's why of all of the companies that have been outpacing everyone during the pandemic, one of the big ones, Tesla.
Right.
Yeah.
It's said that within the next 10 years that the cost of a renewable energy car is going to be equitable with that of a gas-powered car.
Yeah, it's coming.
Because as technology gets more established and more widespread and produced by more companies, the costs come down.
Yeah. I mean, Volkswagen is now they sort of been – I've seen a bunch of stuff of them advertising. They've got like somewhere between three to five different cars that they're working on that are all electric, not hybrids, all electric. And they're not
the only ones.
Like, no, like hell
every,
no.
Every company, auto manufacturer worth its salt either has an electric vehicle out now or has one in development.
Right. Apparently. Look, when Porsche is making them, okay, like they're working on it and like big time. When Hummer has one, come on, guys, like things have shifted significantly. Those things are disgustingly expensive, but still, like, that's what people want to buy. Like, God bless. I think they're still hideous, but I'm a guy who wants to buy a Cybertruck.
I'm about to say this coming from the guy who's buying the RoboCop car. Okay.
It's a Halo Warthog. Thank you very
much. True.
Watch your mouth. How dare you? Jennifer Granholm, possibly for energy secretary. That's not bad. That's not terrible. I feel like we could have picked someone, you know, who actually is a walking barrel of oil, but I guess we'll take this. It's fine.
Did she even run an oil producing state?
She did not. What even was the point? COVID-19 vaccine from Pfizer is officially approved and rolled out in the UK and in the US this week. Brad, are you already vaccinated? Will you get the vaccine if you aren't already?
Well, I'm not a frontline healthcare worker or a White House employee, so no, I haven't gotten.
Yeah, they walked that one back, yet. By the way. They walked that one back. Oh, yeah. They walked that one back.
It's smart. Smart.
Here's the thing, before you continue, I'm actually not mad about that. I just don't think they should have fucking. I think they should have been much quieter about it. You're around the fucking president, dude. You're around people on the hill.
No,
They should get vaccinated.
I understand that. And in
100%.
Normal circumstances, I'd be fine with it.
But fuck
I'm
them.
Not okay with it when you treated this thing like it wasn't a serious fucking problem.
That's what fucked them up.
That's the problem.
Right. That's what fucked them up. Because if they had done the normal shit, no one would have been upset. They'd be like, you can't just be hanging around the president.
We'll give the vaccine to the nurses and doctors. You can have these vials of bleach. Please inject it directly into your veins.
Or eyeballs, really. Like, I don't think you need to. Don't waste a vein. Come on.
Am I going to get the vaccine, Jay? I don't know. I would like to do things like, you know, go out in public, see my friends in person again at some point, record in the studio maybe eventually.
Listen to this guy. Selling out to the man.
Right. I mean, you know, is it worth, the 0.00000001% chance that something bad happens from getting the vaccine. I feel like I'm willing to swing, to take a shot at that one.
You are a risk taker.
Wild man.
A wild man. Let me just say this. Take the vaccine, you fucking psychos. What's wrong with you? The other thing, it is not lost on me. As a parent, it is not lost on me that the first person in the UK to get this is a 90-year-old grandmother. And look, let me tell you something. Least surprising thing I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. There was an article today. I wish I could find it. I didn't link to it. But it was like enthusiasm increase over the last couple of weeks. In taking the vaccine, and it was broken down by like racial groups and stuff like that, right? It was like it's jumped, like it's tripled in points in the black community. It's like tripled in points in the white community. It's tripled in points in like age demographics and all this other stuff, right? Doubled in a bunch of places. Here's how I already knew that was happening. So it's been something I have been on a tear about the entire time. People are like, nobody's going to take the vaccine. We're never going to get to 85%. Yes, we will. You know why? Because people are full of shit. Okay. And that 90-year-old grandma in the UK told me everything I needed to know. You know why? Because when they asked her what are you excited to do after you get the second shot and, you know, you can go out and, you know, be normal again. I'll go see my grandkids. There it is. People just want to see their family, dude. That's it. And I don't give a fuck if you're in QAnon, if you're a black person don't trust doctors, or if you're, a general crazy white person. There's a lot of you. just a bunch of lunatics. Maybe the anti-vaxxers are the only hardcore group. Like, that's their only thing. They may not take it. But the vast majority of people will. Because the vast majority of people want to see their grandparents, they want to see their parents, they want their kids to eventually go back to school, they want to get back to work, they want to go back to living their lives. All that other stuff is bluster and bullshit. That's all it is.
In the U.S., you got a sneak preview of that with Thanksgiving.
Yep,
it's going to be 10 times more devastating with Christmas.
Yeah,
and not only that, but Christmas. Will everyone around the world will feel that? Like that's not just a U.S. centric, typical mass gathering holiday. Like this is fucking Christmas,
right? Everyone loves Christmas. Even people who don't celebrate Christmas love Christmas.
Yeah,
yeah. America won, by the way. Like we single handedly made Christmas a world holiday with just our insane deals and consumerism. We did. Saint Nick won. Get out of here. Like he did. Yeah, no, but you're not wrong.
It is still going to bother me because there are still going to be a not insignificant number of people who don't take this.
Oh, yeah. Probably 15% of the population is just going to not do it.
And not just general crazy people either. Like you mentioned black people that don't trust doctors, yeah. Which is an incredibly legitimate fucking subset of the population.
Look, we are, as a black person, I will speak for my community here rarely, but we are a paranoid people. That's not true. We are a conspiratorial people. But the problem is, we have every right to be.
I'm about to say, I don't understand why you would be, Jay. There's only 400 years of American history to support,
right. This. And so when people are like, oh, well, why are black people so conspiratorial? There's a lot of conspiracies against black people,
like,
dude.
That's like the Will Smith fucking meme. It's like,
hello, they're all right there. The Tuskegee America. Experiments. The Tuskegee Experiments is a pretty big one. It wasn't a billion years ago. So there are a lot of very conspiratorial black people. But, I mean, that's the reason why Dr. Fauci came out and was like, you guys are aware that this vaccine was developed by a black woman? Like, you got – okay. Like, that was not happenstance, right? Like, that was on purpose to try to get black people on. But they will take it too. They will because they want to go back to normal. Like, all the people are like, I ain't going to take it, but you're wearing a mask? Like, look, I'm in a social distance, but I'm not going to take the shot? No. That doesn't ring – logically, right? It doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, this is a scary thing. The problem is, though, and it's not a problem with necessarily with the vaccine or anything, but the problem is when you get the vaccine, you can still be a carrier. So it's not like you get the vaccine and then all of a sudden life is grand. It is for you, the person who got it, but you can still be a carrier and pass it on to people who don't have it. So we still have to get to a situation where everyone, at least in your immediate circle, has it so that they're all protected if they can have it, right? Like, you and I both have kids who are under 16. We're still fucked until they figure that out. Like, because we cannot afford to be carriers. Like we can go once – you and I get the vaccine. Yeah, we could go to stores and we'll be fine. But we could also get it from someone else and bring it home to our kids and they could get sick. Right. So we still have to be careful.
Well, and again, doubly so for people like you and I, because you have a toddler.
Right.
And I have a child who's not neurotypical, who is not going to wear a fucking mask. So
right. So we have to still be very careful. Like I just found out, like my niece is – she works in the dental industry, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, I just got a notice that like I'm getting vaccinated like next week. That's awesome, right? Because like you're putting your head into people's mouths. Like you're in the worst position. So they're frontline workers. But she still is going to have a situation where she's not allowed to really be around her grandfather who's in his 80s, right? Like because she's still a carrier. She can't be around the rest of her family because she's still a carrier and they don't have the vaccine. So what are you going to do? You're like, hey, I'm good, but then pass it to everybody else? Like, that's fucking scary. So we're not out of the woods yet, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
And to be clear, too, we are a long way from being out of the woods. I mean, they
– yes.
It was celebrated that 3 million – like the first 3 million doses are being distributed in America. And that's 3 million doses. It sounds like a lot, but it's actually only 1.5 million – full vaccinations because you need, two shots.
Right.
But again, you got to remember we have a country filled with 330 plus million people. That is, 3 million doses, 1.5 million vaccines. What is that? Like half of a percent?
Right. It's nothing because Donald Trump decided that he didn't want to order more. Cool. Thanks. Thanks for that.
But hey, he's the reason that we have it, Jay.
Okay.
From Pfizer who didn't actually take money from Operation Warp Speed because they didn't want to be beholden to the U.S. government.
Irrelevant, Brad. Irrelevant. Get the fuck out of here with your facts.
Because Donald Trump, despite working against vaccination being developed, did what any normal president would do. Like, that's the thing. Like, I can't stand when people try to claim credit for just being in the right place at the right time. Like, it's why I've never given Reagan any credit over the Iran hostages being released. Like, they were released on his inauguration. Reagan didn't have anything to do with that. Iran wanted to make a political point, so they did it. Obama didn't kill Osama bin Laden. He just happened to be the dude that was there when the intel came in, when the opportunity arose.
Right.
Any president in his position would have probably done that, or at least considered it.
Yeah, probably considered.
And that's why we don't lavish praise on Obama for it.
No.
Not to say that he doesn't, you know, that he wasn't the face of that, and that's great. But it's not like Obama was the dude that killed Osama bin Laden. He just happened to die on his watch.
Right. But the right gives him zero credit. Zero credit, which is wild to me.
I mean, whatever. But like if Hillary Clinton was president, we probably would have had vaccine. I mean, we probably would have had the vaccine around the same time.
Yeah. But I think you would have probably seen a federal response, which would have would have dropped the number significantly.
100%. And as we're going to talk about in the next story, we crossed 300,000 dead Americans.
Yeah. Wow. All right. I just saw a thing about Ron DeSantis. That guy is not bright. So quickly, I do want to go back because I forgot to mention a statistic that I want people to know, and I want them to take that statistic with them, and I want them to shove it into the face of Trump supporters whenever they have a chance, because I believe in pettiness. Going back to quickly to the Biden is now president-elect story, Joe Biden beat Donald Trump popular vote-wise by over 7 million. He beat him so badly that that number is higher than the population of 36 out of 50 states, Brad. 36. That's how bad. That's how many people voted for Joe Biden. The difference.
So what you're saying is that you could have a map of the United States in front of you and you could throw a dart at it. And the odds are pretty good. Higher than 2 out of 3, in fact, that you'd hit a state that has a lower population than the popular vote margin in the 2020 presidential election.
That's correct. That feels
including
good.
Including the state in which we reside.
That's correct. That is correct. So, yeah, that's just one to just, you know, just keep in your back pocket. When people are like, Joe Biden barely won that. Nah, he ain't barely won nothing. He beat the brakes off him, dude. Get out of here. No, by a lot.
I wonder how many states you could combine and not get to 7 million people. There's a lot.
Yo, there's a lot.
There's
like 600,000 people who live in like Alaska, dude. Like it's less than that.
Right. Like you could take Alaska, Wyoming, Montana, both Dakotas.
And you're still
sitting with a fair cushion.
Okay, you could take American Samoa, Northern
we're counting territories now.
Yeah, yeah, fuck it, just add them in. Northern Mariana Islands, U.S. Virgin Islands, Guam, Wyoming, Vermont, District of Columbia, Alaska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Delaware. Like you're starting to get close. Like,
yeah.
And if you're just talking states, yeah, like between Wyoming and Vermont is like a little over 1 million, 1.7, 1.8 million with DC. Yeah, you get the Dakotas in there. Yeah, you're doing pretty good until you get like through Delaware. That's not bad. So nobody who lives in any of these states. No one. Why is Wyoming a state, yo? Wyoming has literally as many people in the entire state as Baltimore City has in the city of Baltimore. Like, that's crazy to me. Why is Wyoming a whole state? Why? No.
Let me tell you something. I had to ship a package to Delaware the other day. And when I was creating the shipping label, I typed in the zip code on FedEx. And with FedEx, you always type in the zip code first, and then it gives you an option of cities that you can choose from. Within one zip code in Delaware, I had an option of 10 different cities and townships to choose from with one zip code.
Wow. There's no one who lives there. Yeah. Try that in California or like a real state. Like, it doesn't work. Get out of here.
There is one guy though, Jay, that lives there for now. And that is one Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.
That's right.
President elect.
Soon he will be taken. Soon, I thought you were going to say Hunter Biden. You were going to say Hunter Biden.
Jay, we all know he lives in, you know, California where the laptops got dropped off, right?
No, he lives in California and then he flew the laptops to New Jersey?
That's right. Okay, that's right. It was New Jersey. You're right.
Don't be silly, Brad. Come on. Obviously, that's what happened. Oh, my God. Yeah, so the U.S. exceeds 300,000 deaths from COVID-19. Yeah, that's a stark number. That's a stark number in comparison to having the news of the first vaccine.
It is. I mean, and the statistic that's been making the rounds that everyone I'm sure has seen at this point is that we are officially losing more than one 9/11 per day. And it's been that way for like the last week,
right?
Essentially. Because as everyone told, as all the smart people told us months ago, it's going to get fucked in the winter again when people have to be indoors all the time. Because that's how this shit works.
Like,
I am.
I never again want to hear anyone talk about, you know, the never forget for 9/11. I just don't want to hear it. I get it. It's a completely different circumstance. It was an attack from outside the country. It was an act of terrorism. This side of the other thing. It's not the same thing. But again, if you can't even spare like a thought for the fact that we're losing that many people per day,
right?
I don't want to hear it from you anymore. I just don't.
Yeah, I agree. It's 300,000 people, dude. It's 300,000 people. Like that is not an insignificant number. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, what were we just talking about? Populations? That's half of Wyoming. That's half.
It is.
Not of the voting populace, of the population. There are several states. What was it? One of the Dakotas that had one in every 800 citizens has died.
Right.
That's insanely high.
It's the deaths tell one story. Like the amount of cases that we've had is also insane. And again, talk to people that have had this. This is something that even if you're healthy, even if you don't fucking die, like even if you're not elderly or you're not immunocompromised, like the longstanding effects that this could possibly have on you are not insignificant.
No,
like
not. You can have like serious neurological neurological issues.
Or lung scarring, like long-term damage, like tons of stuff that is going to stick with you. And that, like the amount of people that have to deal with that stuff, I would imagine would be in the millions at this point.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Would be in the millions.
So, yeah, 300,000, man. That's nothing to sneeze at. And like you said, we are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, but it is a long way away. It's a really long way away. So please be careful. I mean, I don't know what else to tell people.
Well, and again, that's just it. Don't stop. Don't relax. Don't breathe a sigh of relief. Like you still need to do what you got to do to keep you and your family safe, and other people around you too, for that matter. Like be a good citizen. Like that's what it amounts to at the end of the day.
Yeah, be a good citizen of the world. 300,000. That's fucking nuts. And yeah, I listened to an interview with Ron Klain, who is going to be Biden's you know, chief of staff. And he basically was like, look, before the end of the year, we're looking at tens of thousands of more people dying. Mm-hmm. Yo, it's not even December 1st, right? If we're losing 3,000 people a day, that's crazy. That's absolutely nuts. That's 90,000 people. That's 90,000 people in a fucking month. So we very well could, by the end of the year, or just across the line to 2021, be at 400,000 people that fast. Just put on a fucking mask.
I don't think it'll get to 400,000.
I hope not.
By the time we get to the end of the winter, I mean, it is not out of the realm of possibility that by the time you get to the end of February, especially if the distribution of the vaccine is not as fast as we're hoping, we might be at 500,000 people. And just again, put that number into context. Like that's just a wild number.
Yeah.
For this.
So here's my question to you, Brad. How long before Republicans blame Joe Biden for those numbers?
I'm surprised it hasn't happened already, to be quite frank.
Yeah, I put it at February 1st. Like whenever we hit the next milestone, mm-hmm. after he's been sworn in, that's when they'll freak out. If it's 400,000 after January 20th, look what Biden's done. He's done nothing to slow it down.
Will we or will we not have a coronavirus relief package? And I use that term so loosely based on what Republicans are trying to get passed through Congress by that point.
By the time he gets sworn in?
By the time they start accusing him of being, you know, dragging his feet or being the reason that, you know, oh, this is so bad, this, that, or the other thing.
Oh, no, we won't have one. no, it solely depends on whether Warnock and Ossoff get in. If they get in, you'll get one. You'll get one, and you'll get a pretty good one. I'm not banking on the Democrats doing what Canada's doing, right? Which is like just fucking pay people, man. Just fuck the deficit. Just pay people so they will stay in their goddamn houses until you get this shit done.
I gotta tell you, I understand that it is apples and oranges. In a lot of ways, it's because the population differences are so vast and this, that, and the other thing. Why don't we have a plan in place already to distribute this vaccine to every single American
at no cost? I agree with
you cannot sit there and fucking wax poetic about, oh, the biggest thing that I care about is strengthening the economy. You want to strengthen the economy? How about making sure that no American can get the – or at least no adult American can get the fucking coronavirus?
Yeah.
You don't think that'll give the old economy a great shot in the arm to fucking ensure that people aren't going to get sick, they can go back to work and do their fucking jobs?
Right.
Without fear of illness? You want to protect companies from liability from coronavirus? How about you stop people from getting the coronavirus?
You're making a lot of good points here. Gonna have to disagree with them, Brad. Just because it's too logical. It's way too logical. Get out of here.
Too logical. And someone was someone on Facebook was pointing out the fact. He's like, well, you know, they're giving everyone the vaccine for free, but what does Canada have? Like, you know, 50 million people? And he's right. Canada does have a significantly less amount of population as we do. But guess what? Their GDP, the production, the amount of money that they have flowing through their system is at the same ratio of population.
Yeah.
So you can be like, oh, it's super easy for Canada. They have less people. Yeah, they have a lot less money being generated too.
Yeah. And somehow they manage.
Yeah.
Because Well, because the number one point is to make sure that the citizenry isn't fucking suffering.
Right.
And for some reason, we do not have that same viewpoint. I mean, we are really enamored to make sure that big corporate businesses are getting paid.
Well, Jay, if you don't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, are you really living at that point?
One can make an argument that we're not. I'm not. I don't know about you, Brad. You seem rather lazy.
You think you can be a real man by pulling yourself up by your tennis racket shoes as you're trying to walk through the fucking snow?
That's right. I'm a Marylander, for God's sake. I don't know what we're gonna do. I really don't. Brad, how sad are you? This news, your Republican doppelganger.
Oh God! That
I'm just fucking with you.
I must say I've been insulted.
How?
In many ways on the show. Jest. That is beyond the pale, sir.
No.
Compare me to Guy Fieri all you want, Jay. But
notice how Brad properly pronounces his alter ego's name. Yes. Yes.
Look, you've never seen us in the same.
I have not. Brad is the host of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. That is a true story. Everyone knows this.
Like I said, everyone knows my place of birth was Flavortown.
Where were you born? Flavortown, USA. Oh, my God. Yes, those are my frosted tips. Thank you very much.
Look, everyone did that back in the 2000s, Jay. Come on.
You should not have. Good Lord. That man is still rocking that look. It's incredible. How upset are you that Bill Barr is stepping down, Brad? On a scale of one to men die.
I mean, in all honesty, like when I hear Bill Barr is stepping down, like I really wish it was like stepping down from the 30th story window of a tall building into the air.
That's fair.
Like I'd much prefer, but this would be a close second in satisfaction. I don't see the point in this. Other than, I guess Trump was super, super bigly mad that he wouldn't go along for his insane election conspiracy theory ride.
I think Barr does. I'm going to go with what Barr said as being the reason. Mm-hmm. Barr doesn't take too kindly to getting shit on by the president in public. He don't like that shit. I think he likes to do his dirt in quiet and just be left alone. I think Barr also realizes Trump's an idiot. I don't think Bill Barr's an idiot, so I don't see how
really
a smart person.
Which
could
like
think.
I said, really, really leads you to wonder for these last 2 years, what was in it for Bill Barr? It's not like he just dawned on the realization that Trump was a moron.
I think Bill Barr likes an experiment. I think Bill Barr that you know, he subscribes to that sort of Unitarian executive.
Right, which we talked about. So.
Right. And I think he thought, much like Dick Cheney, like, oh, this could be a chance to try it. Like this guy is just gonna, he's basically a fucking dictator. Let's see how far we can go. Because I think Barr being out is the end of an era. Like some people are like, oh, who are they gonna put in? It's gonna be even worse. I'm like, you know, it's like 36 days. Like it's as bad as it's like he is as bad as it's going to get. With any sort of like real work.
And in all honesty, they probably don't even appoint someone to fill the post for what? For a month?
No, they did. Well, they did.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. I don't even know.
The deputy. It's his deputy though, right?
I think so. And this guy doesn't have any experience in being a prosecutor. So, it's sort of meaningless, right? But the bigger issue here is, and I don't see it talked about as much, is I think Bill Barr and people like Bill Barr, they're always edging, right? Which is, Cheney did it with Bush. How far can we go before we get any pushback? And so they push and they push and they push, and they saw, and it was like, cool, and we're done, right? Like they drove it up to the line, a little over, and then they pulled back. Right? And it's like, oh, thank God, we're done with them. And then you get a couple Democrats in, things kind of slow back down, and then Barr comes in. And he goes, how far can I push this, right? Because they're slowly trying to find out just how much they can push the party, and they can push the president and the presidential powers and push Congress around. Just how far can you get? So, yeah, we got a relief from Barr being there. That's great. But what they did is they learned just how far they can move one party, their party, to do basically to give a blank check to the to the president. And that to me is very scary because it won't be Barr who comes back. It'll be another person who agrees with that sort of that all encompassing executive power theory that will try it with the next idiot Yahoo that Republicans put in and go, well, here's what Barr built. In all of these precedents, here's what Cheney built with all of these precedents. Let's start there and move forward. Like, mm-hmm. That's the thing you should worry about. Not so much a guy coming in 36 days left to go.
And that's why I'm not – like, to me, this is no different than if he had been kicked out on January 30th because a new attorney general got passed by Congress. All the damage that Bill Barr was going to do has already been done.
Right. Exactly.
Like he was just going to be coasting for the last month anyway. So like he says he wants to go home to spend the holidays with his family. Fine. I'm sure Trump was mad at him. I'm sure Bill Barr offered to resign, to spare you know, Trump firing him via Twitter.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know if you read the letter. I didn't read it either. Apparently it was like grossly effusive.
I'm sure.
Praise for Trump and not necessarily, you know, praising the efforts of the people who work in the Justice Department, which you would typically expect to see in a letter like that, in a resignation letter. Yeah, Bill Barr is gross. I sincerely hope that a great tragedy befalls him at some point, sooner rather than later in his life.
I am more than okay with that.
Yeah.
I hope a tragedy befalls him. Yeah, like COVID. Okay. Last story. The Trump grift comes to Georgia. So, Brad, Trump antagonizes Republicans with Georgia fundraising ploy. So the idea here is that Trump is tweeting out things that say we must defend Georgia from the Dems. I need you to secure a win in Georgia. Help us win both Senate races in Georgia and stop socialist Dems, right? He's sending out these tweets and these letters and raising all this money. But the problem is, and it's supposed to be money for David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. The problem is he's pocketing most of the money. Meanwhile, the Republican Party is scrambling, sending out fundraisers that directly help the candidates. They're like, no, go to this one. Don't go to that one.
Do you know how much he is pocketing?
It doesn't say a percentage, but they're basically...
Oh, it does. It does further down.
Oh, is it? Isn't it like... he getting 80%? 75% of the donations 75. Are going to Trump's own PAC that he recently set up.
That is wild to me. That is absolutely wild to me. Again, we said it before. We'll say it again. If you can't see the grift, you're probably the mark.
That's correct. So, Brad, I've been thinking about this, and I think there's only one way to describe what is happening in this story or what is happening in Georgia. Have you ever seen the movie Braveheart? Seen that?
I have actually not.
Wow.
Seen that.
Okay. Well, are you familiar with the term prima nocta, Brad?
Why don't you explain it to the folks that are? Because I am.
Prima nocta it's a point that's made very very seriously in Braveheart. But prima nocta was a thing that basically allowed kings and other leaders to sleep with their peasants' wives specifically on their wedding night. So, you know, to get a little taste before the other guy got what was coming to him. That's what this is. This is a political prima nocta. Donald Trump is getting a little bit of a taste off the top and then given the sloppy seconds to David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. And I am 100% here for it because this is exactly what you get. What you get.
Like, the amount of money he's getting is like how much you would fucking have to pay back with the VIG if you borrowed money from the mafia.
Right. When it needs 75% interest. What? Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. 75%? Oh my God. That's awesome. I love it. So if you donate $100, that those two have to share 25. I think this could end up really hurting them, like from a money. Oh, you didn't hear Fantastic. Me. You didn't hear me complain about it.
Andy texted us today because early voting started in Georgia yesterday.
Yes.
For this runoff election. First day of early voting in the presidential election in Georgia saw 136,000 votes being cast. The first day of early voting in the Georgia runoff election saw over 160,000 votes being cast. Seems good.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's a significant uptick. Do you think that is mostly Dems or do you think it's a good split?
Jay, who do you think is excited to come out right now?
Well, Brad,
that's all I'm saying.
Well, Brad, I don't know, right? Because it could be the Democrats are really excited so that they can capture the Senate for obvious reasons. It could be Republicans really excited to stick it to Dems. I don't know. Or it could just be it could be 50-50.
I'm just saying, again, I feel like that the ground game has been good. Though Republicans don't typically bear consequences for their actions, I can't imagine that all the stories flying around about insider trading and corruption around both Senate candidates is not a good thing in the long run. Again, for the party of the quote unquote working people, which, you know, election demographics haven't borne that out for the last two decades, but sure, continue calling yourself that, I guess.
Right.
If you really want to.
I'm trying not to get excited about.
Oh, I'm not either. Like I'm not going to be excited until the final votes are cast.
Yeah, I'm trying not to be, but I will say this: Donald Trump is literally liking and tweeting things about how Georgia politicians should be arrested. Keep going, keep going, because it is like there were chants at these fucking Stop the Steal rallies about how David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler didn't help Trump and how they're not voting for them and how they didn't earn their vote and fuck them. They're rhinos and all this other stuff, which is hilarious to me because Donald Trump is the biggest Republican in name only. He literally used to be a Democrat. Like, come on. Like, you can't possibly not.
Recently,
right? It just wasn't 1975. Like, no, dude.
It was 2008.
Right. Like, he was like, which one can I win? I'm a Republican now. Like, you don't give a fuck.
It was like, I'm a Democrat. And then they're like, oh, we elected a black guy. It's like, I fucking hate the Democrats.
Yeah, exactly.
The worst.
How dare you? So that to me is telling. A lot of people seem to think, the QAnon and like the hardcore right people are not going to be a factor in this and that this is all a ploy. It's not a ploy, man. No, they really believe this. Well, whether or not it has a significant impact is a different conversation, but it's not a ploy.
That's my bigger concern is that they are a very loud, but ultimately probably very small portion of the Republican electorate. But who knows? I mean, again, Joe Biden did just win Georgia in the presidential election, which was kind of unexpected.
Yes, but there's also another factor here, which is, okay, Republicans are amped up one way or the other, right? They're mad because of Trump loss, or they're excited to stick to the Democrats, whatever. The other aspect to this is, are they actually excited about David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler? I don't think that they are. They're not good politicians. They kind of stink, right? They're not interesting.
Kind of?
Yeah. All right. I'm being very nice. But they're not interesting. They're not people like, again, they're not moving the needle. They're not they're not running against, I don't know, like a Dan Crenshaw who like really, like people really like the Republicans really like him.
You mean to tell me that the chance to officially elect and bring back to the Senate possibly the richest person to ever serve in the United States government is not incentive for Republican voters, Jay?
Right.
To bring Kelly Loeffler back into the
fold? I mean, they need her. For her, all her.
You're not telling me that getting that a mediocre white man as exciting as David Perdue is not going to gin up Republican turnout to bring them back in the office.
Brett, I am telling you that. I know it's hard to believe, but that is what I'm saying to you. I mean, David Perdue is not even doing debates.
Well, there's a good reason for that. It's because he got debated circles around by John Ossoff.
Yeah, that was
before the general
election. That was fucking disastrous. And John Ossoff did another debate just by himself,
which is great if your opponent's not going to show up. Did you see the debate that Kelly Loeffler did against Raphael Warnock?
Hear
the clips.
Radical leftists. Raphael Warnock.
Yes. a phrase that was uttered no less than like 15 times.
Yeah, people were having a drinking.
She literally could not say his name without the radical leftist, you know, adjective in front, which is insane to me. Like I get debate prep. I think you prepped too hard, Kelly Loeffler.
Look, I'm not impressed by Pandemic Barbie. I'm just not. Good. I hope it blows up in their face. I do. And I don't think it's that crazy to think that it will. I don't think so. I think they're two terrible candidates. They both literally profited off of the pandemic. I think that in a normal year, I think they'd be in a world of trouble. But now that it's become a national election, they have a better chance. But at the same time, the national election has given Ossoff and Warnock a better chance. So
right.
I think people are invested.
And again, it may be a national election, but no one outside of the state of Georgia gets to vote in it. So
that's right.
At the end of the day.
I'm here for it. I hope those two kick ass. I really do. I would love to see him walk away with it. I think it would be
again,
awesome.
It would be amazing just because the possibilities that would then open up to a Biden administration would be vast until my bold prediction from last week comes true, which seemed to upset a lot of folks in the fan group.
As it should have.
With its startling accuracy. So
yeah, no, it should have. No, fuck Brad. Get out of here.
I just enjoyed the sheer panic that I sent everybody else in. Again, for the same reasons as you, Jay, not because of the mere suggestion, but the fact that you could see it. like in your mind's eye, you could just be like, oh my God, like I could step by step see this happening.
I would drive to West Virginia and I would beat him up. I would just beat him up.
I don't know, Jay. He can shoot guns at very large stacks of paper.
I'm not a stack of paper, yeah, Brad. You gotta I'm a man. Out. I'm wily. No, I'd be like, I'm a huge fan. And then he would come outside and be like, oh, I want to shake your hand. And I would just punch him. Just right in the stomach. just double him over. He's like, you son of a bitch. You sold us out. You soulless prick. yeah, no, I don't need Joe Manchin to take a sweetheart deal with the Republican Party. Fuck me. He would do it too. God, he's the worst. He's awful. He's awful. But look, you go to war with the team you got. That's it. That's it. We just send AOC down there to primary him. Maybe it'll work out.
No, I don't think so. Sorry.
It would not.
Yeah, I don't know if you're been to West Virginia.
I have.
Yeah.
I don't know who the fuck we got. I don't think we got any backbenchers who can make it happen. I really don't. If you can think of somebody, tell them to move. We need them in like 4 years, please. All right. That I think is it for us. Any parting words? Oh, sorry. Mm. I have one this weekend weird.
This weekend weird.
Louis Gohmert's tooth fell out during a press conference.
Saw that video.
That was awesome. It just fell out of his mouth. It was awesome. It just fell out.
Oh my God.
That was great. That was great. As a man who just recently had a tooth extracted, I'm not going to slam him too bad, but fuck that guy. Fuck that guy.
Louis Gohmert, like I said, it's who would you say? Because like it used to be Louis Gohmert by like a country mile, but in the past couple of years, there have been a lot of Republican House representatives that have really been vying for that title of just the absolute worst. In the House?
I don't know who holds the title now, but I'm going to tell you who's going to hold the title soon. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Do you think she's going to be prolific enough?
I think the clips alone, Brad. Dude, she's a QAnon person. She's crazy.
Dude, that cage match between for the fucking most batshit insane congressman between her and Matt Gaetz is going to be fucking wild.
I know, man. I think Gates got to sit down. Like, he's not in her league, dude.
I don't know.
Nah, you're crazy.
All of a sudden, you hear like the Ohio State fucking theme. Oh my God, that's Jim Jordan.
That's Jim Jordan.
Comes down out of a suit jacket, fucking armpit stained. He's like, this is happening without me.
No. I'm the most prolific of all. He's God coming out in a wrestling singlet. I didn't see anything with blinders on. Just wrestling singlet and blinders on. Oh my God. No, I think it's Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think she's been wanting to like take on the squad.
You think what's her name? Lauren Boebert is going to let her have that fucking crown unchallenged. She's a fucking crazy Q person as well.
Oh man.
That just got elected.
I feel like they got to start their own squad, right? Like, like the nut squad or something. They need a name. I'll have to think of something that is definitely offensive, but only like 80s offensive. Like acceptable in the 1980s, and that's it. All right, that's it. Louis Gohmert's tooth fell out. That was pretty fucking funny, thus depicting the internal rot of the GOP in one image.
Like you said, Sith corruption. Sith corruption's a motherfucker.
Yeah, so. Look, Kellyanne Conway. Looking a little bit better as she's stepped away. Yo, she literally offered Joe Biden her services. That woman don't give a fuck.
To do what?
To go on TV and lie for him. Joe Biden is the greatest president we've ever had, and Donald Trump is the worst.
That's a lot of chutzpah to fucking be like, yo, Joe Biden, I'm here for you if you need me.
Yeah, they're just vigilantes, man. She is the A team. If you got money,
you have a problem and you can afford
it. Yeah, and you can afford it.
Kellyanne Conway will come live for you on
That's
television.
Right. She's the B.A. Baracus of bullshit. That's who she is. That might be a show title. That's pretty good. Right at the
pretty
one.
Pretty good.
Right,
it's pretty good.
I don't think
you can. Like I said, if you could find a way to Photoshop the Mr. T Mohawk on her head, I would be. I mean, does it get better than that?
don't challenge me, Brad. Don't challenge me. I will fucking do it. All right, that is it for us. I think we have to leave it there. That's it for us, and we will in some fashion. I don't know who it will be, but two of us will be back next week.
See ya.